It's that time again for Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM Cincinnati. So stay tuned for Kingdom Building.
Righteousness, peace, war, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God.
Everybody sing.
Righteousness, peace, joy in the Holy Ghost.
Oh.
Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. That's the kingdom of God. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part? Oh, don't you want to be a part of the kingdom?
Come on.
Come on, everybody. Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Oh, don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Don't you want to be a part of the kingdom? Come on, everybody.
Righteousness. As a community radio station, serves only to open its airwaves to responsible divergent points of view. The opinions expressed during this program do not reflect the views of WAIF, its staff, or board of trustees. The opinions expressed reflect my own views or the views of my guests. Thank you for listening to WAIF Cincinnati, and thank you for tuning in to Kingdom Building. We're here every Wednesday from 12 to 1. So glad you're here with us today. And my name's Rich. I'm here with Mike.
Hey.
What's going on, Mike?
Hanging in there with the heat, man.
It's a warm one, isn't it? Man, you don't even want to be outside for very long.
Well, I've been working at the golf course, and it's been really, really hot.
Yeah, I bet. Well, anyway, we're here for the next hour, and we have a wonderful topic, but a very controversial topic, especially in the day we live in. So we're going to talk about love. Wow, love. And basically, what is the biblical definition of love, and what does God want us to do with that love? And are we exercising that love on a daily basis? It's tough.
That's the big part.
It's tough. I mean, the word love is found in the Bible 310 times. And I think we tend to distort that word love. Like, I love that car, or I love that house, or I love that outfit, or whatever. You know what I'm saying? It's like we like it. You know, when you hear the definition of love, it's a divine thing. And it's interesting, Mike, that the word love is... the Old Testament's a lot larger than the New, right?
Yep.
And so, but you're going to find the word love like almost three times and more in the New Testament than the Old. And I asked the Lord, I said, Lord, why is that? Why wasn't the Old Testament love more than the New Testament, since there's many, many more pages and books and chapters and verses and whatever? And he answered me with one word: grace. You know, most of the Old Testament was living under the law, most of it.
That's right.
Not all of it, but, you know, Moses brought the law down. So from Moses until the New Testament begins, which truly the New Testament really, really, really begins in Acts. Because Jesus, when he was here on earth, he came for the Jewish people. You know, Paul was the one that came for those that weren't Jewish. So anyway, grace, that's why. We live in grace. And what is grace? It's how God divinely comes into our lives, and we are to reflect that into our to others in the outside life.
Yes, right.
He comes to the inside, so he works from the inside out with us.
Well, that's right, Rich. And what, by reflecting grace through from us to other people, that's love.
That's love. And that's why the word love appears so many more times in the New Testament than the Old Testament. So, yeah, that's our challenge on a day-to-day basis is, are we loving? Are we loving people? We're going to hear why we are to love, and we're going to hear who we are to love here through the scriptures. We're going to probably read a lot of scriptures today, Mike. And those who are listening, and please understand, I didn't write it. I'm telling you, it's some stuff that'll, if you haven't read it in a while, it's going to be a wake-up call for some. But anyway, that word love, I love how this is described. Did you catch that? I love how, okay, all right. Anyway, the pure essence of being. This is what the definition of love is. It's the pure essence of being. You shouldn't have to work up love. That love should be there. You know, being. You should exude love and grace, which again, like Mike said, is fairly synonymous. It says the pure essence of being that binds together the whole human family. Wow. Who does that not include?
Well, it says whole. I mean, whole is
the whole human family. Well, but the thing of it is, I think we're only, I think the scriptures say we're only required to love the brothers and sisters. Well, yes, you are required to love the brothers and sisters, but you're also required to love your neighbor. Who's your neighbor? The whole human family.
Right.
Love is an inner quality that sees good everywhere and in everybody. Wow. Come on now.
Come on now. Somebody should be shouting for that.
Well, shouting or wondering. I mean, come on. We all, if something happens, I mean, there's been a lot happening. You know, and I've seen love. I mean, we don't get political here, and I won't get political because I know the Lord told me don't use this as a political platform. But I will tell you this, whether you're on the right side of the aisle or the left side of the aisle, we've all seen love on both sides.
Yep.
And we've seen hate on both sides, haven't we?
Yep, we have.
Well, on both sides.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
So that takes politics completely out of it. It's a personal thing.
Well, it is. It does become personal, and that's the difference, and that's where grace comes into play.
Absolutely.
Because when it becomes personal, then it becomes a one-on-one thing.
Yeah.
And if you're exuding hate or whatever to your neighbor or someone in your family or whoever, then you're not living in love.
No. And it's a journey. I mean, can you just begin to just love and never, I mean, let something happen to your family. You know, let something happen to your family that's bad and a person's responsible for it, maliciously, let's say. I'm not going to lie, about everybody get upset over it.
Yeah.
You know,
it's a normal. It would be hard for me.
It's a normal response, but we can't live in the normal. We have to live in the heavenlies. We have to live by spiritual principles. I'm going to read that again, Mike. It says, love is an inner quality that sees good everywhere and in everybody. That's a powerful, powerful statement. And the thing of it is, I think we all have those moments where we live that.
Well, you know, it's just like we talk on this show all the time about people who are, who don't, you know, haven't given their life to the Lord, and they say, "Well, I can't do that." It's just like the measure of faith that we all have.
Mm-hmm.
Just because we, you know, we can't see the good doesn't mean there isn't good.
God's working in the midst of everything.
Oh, and, I think God's working so hard right now. It's unbelievable.
And you know, even the dark areas, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
He's working in the dark areas of each one of us, and he's working in the dark areas of this world. He no truly doubt. Is. He, just like it says in Isaiah, that darkness will cover the earth's growth, darkness will cover the people. I mean, we see that every day. I can't even watch news anymore. It doesn't mean I stick my head in the sand. It just means the only time I watch news is I pray for people. I can't get caught up in all of it.
Oh, no.
Because then it's easy. You know, when you see someone mistreated, I'm not going to lie, it pisses me off. It really does. I mean, seriously, well, you sure. know, nobody should be mistreated.
No.
And when I see it, then I got to stop and go within and say, you know, I got to leave this with the Lord, man. I can't get.
That's right. You can't,
I can't get over into that darkness.
Well, you can't allow that darkness to creep into your spirit.
No.
Because what happens then is then your spirit's turned upside down.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm going to read on because. It's, you know, it'll definitely be a wake-up call if for some reason you've been living in the natural. God wants us to live spiritually. He wants us to live in a place where he is in control. If you want to be in control, he's going to let you. If you want him to be in control, he'll take the reins and be in control. And I want God to be in control of my life because I've done a poor job back in the day, and there are times where I have to say, Lord, you know, like the old song, take the wheel.
I have to say, Lord, what were you thinking to get me through that?
Man, I tell you. So anyway, love is an inner quality. It sees good everywhere and in everybody. Some people might say, well, that's just an idealistic view. Well, okay, that's your opinion, but this is what God wants us to believe. It insists that all is good, even all that bad stuff. Well, okay, and by refusing to see anything but good, it causes that quality finally to appear uppermost in itself and in all things. Doesn't the Bible say that God... that all things work together for your good?
Oh, yeah.
Doesn't it?
Yeah.
All things.
Oh, yeah.
Man, I sometimes don't see it, but I know it's true, and I believe it, and that's when I just surrender to God and say, God, I don't want to carry this stuff around because it's dark.
Well, no matter who you are, Rich, you know, it's easy to see the bad parts.
It's just natural to gravitate to that because it's a natural,
that's right,
organic reaction, and we can't be that way. And this next thing I'm going to say is love is the great, and the world needs to hear this so badly, love is the great harmonizer and healer. Yeah, I'm reminded of that song back in the 60s. What the world needs now is love, sweet love. Whoever calls on God as Holy Spirit for healing is calling on divine love. Love will bring your own to you, adjust all misunderstandings, and make your life and affairs healthy, happy, harmonious, and free. I mean, really, who doesn't want that? Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. That's in Romans 13:10. Okay, let's talk a little bit about human love, us loving. It says human love is based on personality and is selfish. Our old self, our old stuff, not our new, not the new creation and the new creature, but the old is based on personality and is selfish, lawless, and fickle. Boy, see a lot of that out there, don't we? I've seen that in my life too, you know, and it's I don't like it. It's ugly. By establishing ourselves in the consciousness of divine love and expressing that love at all times, we are helped to fulfill the command. This is the part, you know, until you get to this part, and only God can help you to this part, you've got a ways to go, and I know I've got a ways to go. It says, love your enemies. I just heard it on Brother Jefferson's show where someone was singing, we love our enemies. Do you? Do you? I hope you do.
It's hard to say.
I hope you do.
Hard to say.
Love your enemies, do good to them that hate you. Wow. Okay, again, that's not the natural way to do things, but it's the way God wants us to do things. Bless them that curse you. Pray for them that despitefully use you. We develop love in our heart by asking daily that the infinite love, God's love's infinite and it's unconditional, the infinite love of the Father be poured out upon us by praying, meditating, and affirming that we are one with and express at all times the perfect love of God. We can't get there, folks, without the Lord helping us.
Oh, gosh.
So we've got to pray every day. If we see some dark area in our lives where there's no love, we got to pray, Lord, shine the light on that with a big, gigantic spotlight, because I don't want that in my heart. I don't want that in my being. I want to be what this says, and that is the infinite love of the Father being poured upon us by praying, meditating, and affirming that we are one with and express at all times the perfect love of God.
Well, Rich, I got to say this. Last Saturday, I was in a meeting, and I'll just tell you what it is. It was an Al-Anon meeting. And the topic...
Tell them what Al-Anon is.
Al-Anon is the 12-step program for people who deal with people who are on drugs and alcohol. But it also works very well without all of the other things. And the topic... And one of the things, one of the steps is to turn all your shortcomings, ask God to give rid of your shortcomings. And the topic last week was criticism.
Mm.
And I was sitting there listening to the leader of the meeting, and I'm going, man, I thought I was getting pretty good at this. And then I realized, you know, I thought I turned it over to the Lord. And I realize it's still right there on the edge all the time, you know. And that's love, you know. You can criticize somebody. There's constructive criticism, and then there's sarcastic criticism, which can cut very, very deep. And I had an opportunity, not two or three days before, with one of my relatives. And I could have, and it popped up, and I wanted to say something, and the Lord stopped me. And I don't know why he stopped me, but he did. But after it was all said and done, I realized if I'd have gone forward with that, it would have opened another wound. You know, and that's what we're I think that's what we're talking about today. You know, for me, that situation was an opportunity to show God's grace rather than to show something else. Mm-hmm. And that was really, really important. And like I said, I thought I had turned that over to the Lord to take my it was a shortcoming. And guess what? Even if he took it, there still can be opportunities in your life where you, those things, something happens in your life, those things can come right back to you. Not, instead of having the opportunity to show grace, you go boom, and there it is.
Absolutely. Let's read in John for a second here. This is pretty good. If you're at home, grab your Bibles. There's going to be a lot of scriptures here today, so grab your Bibles and go along with us. I'm going to read this. Let's see. I'm going to start with verse 43. It says, "You are familiar with the old written law. Love your friend, and it is unwritten companion. Hate your enemy." That's the unwritten law. Love your friend, hate your enemy. We see that a lot from the beginning of time. Look at Cain and Abel. He looked at his brother as his enemy, Cain did. It says, I'm challenging that. This is Jesus talking. I'm telling you to love your enemies. Wow. Let them bring out the best in you. What? Are you kidding me? And loving your enemies is going to bring the best out of me? Absolutely. Yes, definitely. Yeah. Definitely, definitely, and definitely. When someone gives you a hard time, respond with the energies of prayer. For then you are working out of your true selves. See, if there's hate in there, that's a mistaken identity. That's not who Christ made you to be. That's not Christ in you, the hope of glory. That's still the old man that's trying to sit on that throne. We want Jesus to sit on our throne. And so when you see that ugliness rearing its ugly head, that's when you gotta, like you did, go within. You know, hold your tongue for a second. Go within, right. Pray. Lord, what would you have me say? And then guess what? You're going to push down that old man, that fleshly nature, and you're going to let the Christ in you rise up.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, it says, for then you are working out of your true selves, your true identity. Your God-created self. That's who we are, folks. It's not what we were born with. It's what we became when we became born again. That's our true identity. The old identity is not our true identity. This is what God does. He gives his best, the sun to warm and the rain to nourish, to everyone, regardless, the good and the bad, the nice and the nasty. If all you do is love the lovable, do you expect a bonus?
You must be reading it out of the Message.
Oh, yes. Oh, yes. So, you know, do you expect, I mean, how difficult is it to love, if you're a mom or a dad out there, or you're, you know, it's been so long you don't remember, but now you're a grandparent. I mean, to look at a baby, is there anybody that couldn't love that baby? Well, you know, we got to look at everybody like that baby. You know, we got to love everybody. I mean, that baby's going to dirty his diaper. You know, that baby's going to squeal and squawk at 2 a.m. Do we still love that baby? And do we, you know, comfort that baby and love on that baby? Yes, yep. We do. Anybody can love the lovely.
That's right.
Anybody can do.
It's easy.
It's easy. It's even a natural response to love the lovely. Anybody can do it. If you simply say hello to those who greet you, do you expect a medal? It's more than just paying, attention to it. It's actually what's deep inside of you. And what's deep inside of you is the Lord. And he's got to come out. Then there won't be any hate. There won't be any retribution. There won't be any revenge. There won't be any of that stuff. Any run-of-the-mill sinner can do that. It's basically what we're saying here. Yeah. In a word, what I'm saying is grow up. Again, I didn't write this. This is the Bible. This is in Matthew 5:48. Grow up. Your kingdom subjects now live like it. Live out your God-created identity. Live generously and graciously towards others, the way God lives towards you. Man, would the world completely change 100% if people took this to heart?
Mm-hmm.
I'm telling you, this world would change. There'd be no discrimination. There'd be no evil towards one another. There'd be none of this. It's going to take God to fix all this out there.
Well,
you know,
Rich, it goes by, and I've said this, I believe, on this show before and on this program before. About 5 or 6 years ago, I made a conscious decision that when I go in to a store, a convenience store or something like that, I always ask the person at the counter. I always say hi to the person at the counter when I walk by. And if I purchase something and they've got a name tag, I always thank them by name.
What do they call that? Random acts of kindness.
And when you think about that, I'm not trying to pat myself on the back here. What I'm saying is, the people in those situations, people take them for granted. You know, well, it's just some kid working behind the counter, or it's some lady just said, everybody wants to hear their name. And a little just thank you or how's your day may change your whole life for the day, And it's just interesting, and I like most people, I think I'm a person of habit, and I stop at the same places most of the time. And now when I go in, it's just a little conversation every time, mm-hmm. And that's what I'm saying, folks, is that's grace. I'm not patting myself on the back. I'm just saying the Lord has allowed me and showed me what that does, how that flows for me to help other people with their lives.
Amen. Amen. You're listening to Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM Cincinnati. And our topic today is love. And we're going to get right back to that here in a brief minute here. We're going to run a couple PSAs and then we'll get back to love.
Yeah, a health threat anywhere is a health threat everywhere. I'm Dr. Phil. A new coronavirus outbreak called COVID-19 started in China and is spreading to many countries, including the U.S. It's critical to get the facts about how to protect our friends and loved ones. While CDC is working with states and communities to stop the spread of the virus, health workers and emergency response efforts need our support. The CDC Foundation, a nonprofit organization, is focusing on immediate and critical needs that help protect our communities here at home and those around the world. We can all play a role in stopping this deadly virus. Get updates, learn how to protect your friends and family, and find out how to help. Go to cdcfoundation.org. That's cdcfoundation.org. Together, our impact is greater.
This has been a public service announcement brought to you by
the Cincinnati Town. You can show your pride in WAIF through buying and wearing one of our colorful and vibrant T-shirts. T-shirts are available in a variety of colors and sizes, emblazoned with the rainbow WAIF logo, and cost only $20. Supplies are limited, so act now for the best choices. Just call this program at 513-961-8900. That's 513-961-8900 to give us your information, and we will contact you to get you your official WAIF T-shirts. All money collected goes into keeping WAIF Radio on the air. Call now. Thank you from listener-supported WAIF Radio.
Okay, again, you're listening to Kingdom Building right here on WAIF 88.3 FM, Cincinnati. God bless you, and so glad that you've tuned in today. And we're talking about love. We're talking about love. A lot of songs out there about love, but are they songs of romantic love? Yes. But there's also songs of love for humanity out there. So we need to see, go back to the scriptures here today and go back and see what they say. I'm going to give you a brief definition of love again for those who just tuned in. It's the pure essence of being that binds together the whole human family. So I guess love is what's lacking, because the whole human family isn't bound together. And God wants us to be one. He wants unity in the whole human family. And has to first start with the church. The church has to be unified, and the church has to be one with the Lord.
That's right.
Love is an inner quality that sees good everywhere and in everybody. Some people would say, well, you're delusional. Okay, well, then I'm delusional, because you have to, it says you have to, it says the pure essence of being, you have to be love. It's not something out there that we digest and become love. It's not like taking a pill. Your whole being has to be love. Love is the great harmonizer and healer. Whoever calls on God as Holy Spirit for healing is calling on that divine love. Love will bring your own to you, adjust all misunderstandings, make your life and affairs healthy, happy, harmonious, and free. Love, therefore, is the fulfillment of the law. Didn't Jesus come first time he really spoke in a synagogue and said, he read out of Isaiah, and then he said, guess what? I didn't come to do away with the law. I came to fulfill it.
And that's right.
That's where we are now, Mike. I want to read this.
And you're right. That is where we are now.
Yeah. But that's, yeah, and it's also where we are heading here, and that is Mark 12:30. If you want to turn to Mark 12:30, it says, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. Are you loving him with all your heart? Are you loving him with all your soul? What is your soul? Your soul is your emotions, your thinking, your will, what you will to do. That's all your soul. And the emotions, that's the one that's probably the hardest to tame, because the emotions want to fly off the handle when something doesn't go your way. People get emotionally distraught and angry, and that's where all these other things come from, is your emotions.
That's right.
Anger, bitterness.
That's right.
Envy, strife, ungratefulness. It's all out of your soul. Your emotions, you can't let your emotions drive your life.
Can't let them run wild.
You know, if your emotions run your life, you're going to be up one minute, you're going to be down the next minute. You're on a roller coaster ride, and depending on the day and whether it went your way or not, you're going to be up or you're going to be down. So you look at each day and go, okay, well, I guess I'm going to be down today because I didn't get that raise I thought I would get, or my kid didn't get off drugs today, so I guess I'm going to be all down. Folks, don't let your emotions control your life. Your emotions will fool you. Your emotions could care less about you. All they care about is your selfishness towards yourself. That's it. Anytime you see someone getting super emotional, God's not in control, right?
No, he isn't.
Something else is in control, your emotions. So it says, love God with all your heart, your soul, and your mind. Really, soul and mind are synonymous, but that's okay. And your strength. Guess what? The joy of the Lord should be your strength, not trying to be strong of your own accord. The joy of the Lord should be your strength. And then Jesus says, this is the first commandment. So, you know, there's 600 and some laws or whatever, and there's 10 commandments and whatever. Listen to this, because this God makes it easy for us. Thank God we're living in these times versus times in the past where we had to try to keep the law. It was a performance-based life, mm-hmm. and you can't perform it.
No, you can't outperform it.
No, you cannot perform it. So the first is to love the Lord, thy God. The second is love your neighbor as yourself.
What?
Yeah. Love your neighbor as yourself. There is none other commandment greater than these.
And what if I don't love myself?
Well, I would say that you have to first start loving yourself because, you know, that's important. It doesn't mean that you're boastful and prideful and you're puffing yourself up and you're exalting yourself. That's not what that means to love yourself.
That's right.
You're loving the Jesus that's in there. You are the temple of God. It says that Christ may, this is Ephesians 3:17, that Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith, being rooted and grounded in love. And the 3:19 says, and to know the love of Christ, which passes knowledge, that ye might be filled with all the fullness of God. Isn't that our quest in this journey here called life, is to be filled with all the fullness of God? If it's not your quest, it's time to have a little paradigm shift up there. You know, your quest should be to possess all the fullness of God.
Yep.
Because when you do, Jesus said, when you see me, when you really see me as I am, you're going to be like me. Man, you know, we can quote off scriptures right and left, but do you really believe it? I believe what Jesus said is true. I believe it. And I believe that the more we see him as he is, the more we become like him. And to see him as he is isn't just looking from afar. I think it's having relationship. I think it's intimacy with him. I think it's consulting him all day long and talking to him. And, you know, the Bible says, rejoice in the Lord always. It says, pray without ceasing. And it says, giving thanks to him in all things, even the bad things. No, you're not thanking him for getting a bad report at the doctor. You're thanking him for who he is and who he is in you. So it's tough, but you know what? The good news is you don't have to do it. He'll do it for you. But you have to be a willing participant.
That's right. You have to be a willing participant. And you have to rely on his mercy and his grace and not your own understanding.
That's what it says, Mike, in Proverbs 3:5. It says, lean not on your own understanding. acknowledge him in all your ways. How many of your ways?
All of them.
Doesn't say 90%. Doesn't say 50%. Says acknowledge him in all your ways. And what comes then? Peace. The peace of God. Doesn't this world need peace of God right now?
Oh,
and I'm not talking just the P-E-A-C-E. I'm talking about the P-I-E-C-E too. We need all the God we can get. And I don't want just the peace of God. I want the whole thing.
That's right.
You know?
That's right.
And so, yeah, lean not on your own understanding. Don't try to sit there and figure things out on your own when you have the God of all living inside of you. Sometimes people pray up to some mountain, or they pray up to some, they head east, or they pray up to some cloud or whatever they think heaven is. He's right inside of you. Go inside. He's there. Doesn't it say that you are the temple of God? I mean, the Holy of Holies. I think the only reason in the Old Testament they had a temple with an outer court and a holy place and a Holy of Holies, I think the only reason was so it was a precursor to what we're experiencing now, where we are that temple, our outer court being our body, our holy place being our soul. And then guess what? Where the Holy of Holy is, that's the Spirit of God.
Yep.
There's only one Spirit. Everybody doesn't have their own spirit separate from God. There's only one Spirit. And so the Spirit that we possess is God's Spirit.
That's right. I'd like to hear some comments today.
I don't know if you're going to get any. I think people
961-8900, option one. So if you've got a comment, give us a call. We'd love to hear it.
If you have a scripture, if there's a scripture that comes to mind while you're listening, you know, we'd love for you to share it. The Bible talks about a voice of many waters. So that's the many waters is all the folks out there that that have that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. It dwells in you.
You know, and just think of that. Just think of this. Whether, you know, whether you think it's just your opinion. I'd like to hear your opinion today.
Some of you might think, well
I can't
this is
that.
Unattainable. It's unattainable. You guys are crazy. It's unattainable. There is no way that I can love my enemies. Well, with that attitude, that's probably the truth.
Yep.
You have to be pliable. Remember, we read in Ephesians Christ may dwell in your hearts. You've got to love him and invite him in. And I mean, he's there anyway, but guess what? If it's like putting a seed up on the wall, up on the shelf. If you put a seed up on the shelf, it's not going to bear any fruit.
It's just going to sit there.
You got to put it in fertile ground. You got to water it, fertilize it, do whatever. And guess what? You're going to see growth. And that's what it said in Ephesians 3:19. It's time to grow up. I think it was 3:19. No, it was in Matthew. Jesus said in Matthew that time to grow up. You know, it's important that we have a desire in our heart to know him more, because the easiest way to go about this, folks, is not trying to do it of your own ability. It's to know him more. Let him have preeminence in our lives. Put him on the throne of your heart. And guess what? You're going to start seeing fruit in all this. You're going to start seeing this stuff. People that never thought they could love their enemies are now loving their enemies. And so they never thought it was even possible. Well, because they were thinking in their own ability.
Right.
And in your own ability, you can't do it. Only the Lord can do it.
Well, you know, Rich, how many times have we talked on this show about the simplicity of the Lord? And, you know, have a conversation with him. Because, you know, you don't have to be in some have to be in a church, or you can have the conversation sitting on your living room sofa.
Mm-hmm. Just driving down the road.
Driving down the road. Just talk to the Lord and tell him that you'd love him to be into your heart, to come into your heart, and to show you what he wants you to do. And that's how you learn to have love for your enemies. Because the more you talk to him, the more he reveals to you. And the more he reveals to you, the greater your faith is. That seed of faith grows in you, and your attitudes will change.
It's, you know, good example, I think, is when you were a kid. You would do some things behind your parents' back.
I never did anything like that.
That you would never want them to see. So, you know, think about every time you want to take control of your own situation, that God is standing. I mean, there's no condemnation with this. That's not what I'm trying to say here. But that God is sitting there like your parent watching you. And you know what? Most of the time, not all the time, but most of the time when you're a kid and your parents could see you and hear you, you behaved a lot better than if they were in another room.
A lot of times they let you do what you're doing.
I can remember my mom one time, I was in the room, and I guess I was a little kid. I guess I was cussing a blue streak. I mean, I was playing with army men, and I was thinking that, you know, I was in the army and whatever. And she was in the bathroom, and I guess she was cracking up. But guess what? She got the bar of soap out, and I tasted bubbles for the rest of that day. You know, it's just one of those things. Anyway, let me read Mike out of 1 John 3, starting with verse 11. It says, "For this is the original message we heard. We should love each other. We must not be like Cain, who joined the evil one and then killed his brother. And why did he kill him? Because he was deep in the practice of evil, while the acts of his brother were righteous." So don't be surprised, friends, when the world hates you. This has been going on for a long time. The way we know we've been transferred from death to life is that we love our brothers and sisters. Who's your brother and sister, Mike?
Everybody.
Yes, sir. Anyone who doesn't love is as good as dead. Wow. Whew. Anyone who hates a brother or sister is a murderer. Listen to this. And I don't think John's heaping condemnation on anybody. He's just saying that spirit is a murderous spirit. Doesn't mean you're going to go out and kill someone. And you know very well that eternal life and murder don't go together. Folks, I didn't make this up. This is in the Bible. This is how we're reading out of 1 John chapter 3. Now we're down to verse 16. This is how we've come to understand and experience love. Christ sacrificed his life for us. Thank you, Jesus.
Yeah, amen.
This is why we ought to live sacrificially for our fellow believers.
That's right.
And not just be out for ourselves. If you see some brother or sister in need and have the means to do something about it, but turn a cold shoulder and do nothing, what happens to God's love? It disappears, and you made it disappear. Again, no condemnation. This is just the way John saw it in chapter 3 of 1 John. So, couple other scriptures here. We're running out of time, but we've got a couple more here. In Hebrews 13:1, the writer of Hebrews makes it very, very simple. It says, "Let brotherly love continue." It's not a one-time event. This is an ongoing lifestyle. This is an ongoing being that comes out from your innermost being out into everybody you come in contact with.
Let it continue.
That's right. Forever.
What does that mean? when you say let it continue, that means don't ever forget. That it means that continue to do what you're doing and show the other people around you the love of the Lord.
You know,
and do it continually.
Right, exactly, Mike. You know, people are going to misuse you. I mean, if you think for a second Mike and I are sitting here and we've never been mistreated or misused, I don't think any human being on earth, some worse than others, granted, and I understand that, but, you know, I've had the gentleman that led me to the Lord, I had him basically steal $7,600. And I mean, I forgave him. I had another brother in Christ that was a very close friend of mine, was in dire straits and needed money for his business. Well, you know, I wanted to help the brother out, and I gave him $10,000, and he turns around and files bankruptcy. But I guarantee he spent my $10,000. Was I angry? Yeah. But you know what? I forgave them too, because you know what? God's in control of my finances. Not me. Not me. God has blessed me, and he's blessing you. And he's in control. And you know what? It happens. Stuff happens, and you're going to be mistreated. But along, you know, one of the major factors of love is, if you're going to love your enemy, guess what? You're going to have to do a lot of forgiving.
That's right.
That's part of the deal.
That's right.
And you know, you may not feel like forgiving. And in the beginning, that's okay. I didn't feel like forgiving either.
Of course it's okay.
But what the Lord showed me, I preached a long time ago about forgiveness, and what the Lord showed me is the deeper the cut that someone cuts you with, and we're talking metaphorically, the deeper the cut, sometimes the longer it takes to heal.
That's right.
And so it's okay if right that second you don't feel like forgiving them, but you have to continue to want to forgive them. And then God will bring about the forgiveness, because he's going to let you see how much he forgave you.
Well, you know, you hear the old axiom, Rich, time heals all. Okay.
And there's truth to that.
And there's truth to that. But the truth of it is, it's not going to get healed until you allow the Lord to heal it.
Right.
You cannot heal it on your own. You have to have the inner spirit of the Lord working in you to allow that to go by.
Yep. And then last scripture I have, Mike, is back to 1 John. There's a lot in 1 John, so y'all need to read 1 John, 2 John. There's not much in 3 John, but anyway, y'all need to at least read 1 John, this first chance you get. Anyway, in 1 John chapter 4, verse 11, it says, "Loved ones, if this is true about God's love for us," which is basically love is, let's go to 10. "Love is not defined by our love for God, but by his love for us. It is not our response to God's love that attracts his attention. We have always had his undivided affection as declared in the prophetic promise and finally demonstrated in his son's commission and work of atonement for our sins." I like how there's a play on word for atonement. It's at one ment, at one ment. In other words, we are to be at one.
Yeah.
Anyway, goes on to say, "Loved ones, if this is true about God's love for us, it is equally true of his love in us for others. God was never visible to anyone until Jesus brought him into full view. Now your love does the same. Our love for one another is evidence of God's seamless union with mankind as witnessed in his love perfected within us." It's Him working from our inside and working it to our outside. It's His job, folks. I mean, the battle, any battles you're in, the battle belongs to the Lord. It's not your battle. The battle belongs to the Lord. So anyway, Mike, what's going on in your world?
Well, nothing, because not a whole lot of stuff because of, you know, all the restrictions, and it looks like they're going to put some of them back on.
Mm-hmm.
But, you know, just trying to live my life daily, you know, one day at a time. And, you know.
Yeah, we can't worry, can we? Can't worry about tomorrow.
You know, I'm working a couple days a week, and it's been a little, like I said earlier, I'm working at the golf course. Yesterday in 100-degree temperature was a little wicked, but.
Well, either when we were younger, either it was not as hot or our bodies were better equipped to handle it.
Number two.
Maybe both, but yeah.
Number two.
It just seems hotter out there. I mean, I can remember as a kid, all summer long, we didn't have video games. We only had three channels on TV.
Didn't have air conditioning in my house.
We didn't even have air conditioning until I got a little bit older and in high school. I mean, every kid was outside all the time.
All
the
day.
Only time we went inside is, and sometimes we didn't even go inside when it rained.
No.
We just stay out and play. And there was a spot down the road where it was like a mudslide where the water would gather and you could get a good run and just slide right down the way there, down the street, on the side of the street. But, you know, so we were out all the time. And so now it's like, I think kids still play outside, no question about it, but I think they do a lot with their cell phone and with PlayStation.
Well,
and
they
with,
don't
you
like
know,
we did.
TV
Rich.
And all the different channels and streaming channels and everything else, and yeah, a lot of distractions
they,
for
they
kids.
They don't do like we did. You know, I can remember being a kid, leaving the house at 8 or 9 o'clock in the morning with my baseball glove and
not coming back till dinner.
And be down the park, you know, a mile and a half or 2 miles down the road that I rode down on my bike, and be there with 10 or 12 kids, the same kids every day.
Have a nickel in your pocket so you could, when you got a little hungry, go down and buy a candy bar for a nickel.
Yeah, absolutely.
or a few pennies in your pocket and buy some penny candy.
Or take the bottles and cash them in.
There you go. Boy, are we old. We're showing our age here. Anyway, well, Cincinnati, we love you, and we hope that the Lord has been able to give you something here today. That's the only reason we come on the air, is to try to speak the words of the Lord, and we love you, and we hope and pray that God's blessings be yours, and we know they are, but we have to walk in that, and So pray peace in your lives, pray joy, let the joy of the Lord be your strength. I mean,
absolutely,
that's
Rich.
When you love the Lord and you love your neighbors, guess what? You're a pretty strong person because you've got the joy of the Lord.
Absolutely.
And the joy of the Lord will carry you through a lot of hard times.
It'll carry you through everything.
Yep, it sure will. Well, anyway, love you. Y'all stay tuned, and we'll see you next Wednesday, right here on WAIX.
We'll be back.
WAIF 88.3 FM, Cincinnati, Ohio.
Enjoy. Joy in the Holy Ghost. Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost.